Are you down, did it down, did it down, did it down, down, down? Down, did it down, did it down, did it down, down, down. Are you down?
You're listening to the Ref Recap Podcast on 960theref.com. Here are your hosts, Sam Franco and Ryan Goldstein.
All right, welcome into another exciting episode of the Ref Recap Podcast right here on 960theref.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Sam Franco, Ryan Goldstein along with you. And we've got an interesting episode of the podcast today as we will kind of just do a 2017 preview of all the different leagues and sports that we like to talk about. And with the Super Bowl wrapping up and the Falcons losing, we'll get to the NFL towards the end here and what we think of the 2017-18 NFL season. But we're going to start things off with the season that is closest to crowning another champion, and that is NCAA Hoops, where right now you've got Gonzaga ranked number one, Villanova number two, Kansas three, Arizona four, UCLA five. You know what's interesting about that? All of those teams sound like they should be up there because they always are. Maybe right. Not Gonzaga at number one, but Villanova, defending national champs, at number two. Kansas, number three. Arizona, number four. UCLA, number five. Oregon, a surprise at number six. But then you get back to some more blue bloods there. Louisville, North Carolina, 7-8. Baylor, a good program at number nine. Duke and Kentucky, 10-11. So out of the top 11, I would say maybe three of them are a little bit of a surprise at where they are, and Baylor, Gonzaga, and Oregon are probably the surprises there. But right now, I think this has been a very open college basketball season, and Villanova has as good a chance to repeat as any of these teams do to win the national championship.
Well, that's the best part of college basketball, right? It's like you just got to hit your stride at the right time. The way the tournament is set up, you don't even have to be the best team to win the national title. If you win six games in a row, you end up winning the national championship, and you're forever crowned a champion. That's what I think is so awesome about it, is that, and some people don't like that. You know, some people don't like the idea of a team that's not the best team throughout the regular season then winning a title. I'm perfectly okay with it, because I think the madness that is March Madness makes that month or those 3 weeks some of the best weeks in college sports and sports in general. I said this to you earlier. I think the opening Thursday, Friday of March Madness is two of the best days in sports all year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got just game after game after game, and you've got the, will there finally be a 16-1 upset? You know, what 15-2 are we going to get this year? There seems to always be a 12-5 upset. 15-2 is one that's become more common recently. So you have these upsets, and they're great to watch. Although then you have like 10-7. It's like, that's not enough.
That's the thing. It's almost like you like a couple of them to happen, but you don't want them to get as far as the Sweet 16, because then that second weekend you feel like you're watching games that you really have no business watching.
Right.
You know, you don't want to see a Middle Tennessee State play Louisville in the Sweet 16.
Exactly. So you like them in the beginning, but then you want them to get eliminated in that second weekend. They're kind of like when Mercer beat Duke in the first round a few years ago, and then they lost to Tennessee. It's like, okay, we got the smaller school out of here now. It was nice to see them get that win in the first week. But unfortunately for Georgia basketball, doesn't look like they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. They might have been able to make a run. If they had beaten Kentucky before Yante Mayton, you know, goes down, obviously, but if they had beaten Kentucky and then been able to string together some wins here, even into the NCAA tournament, they would have had an outside shot at getting in. But it doesn't look like that's going to be the case now. In fact, the SEC right now, I think would probably, you're looking at four teams, Arkansas, Florida, South Carolina, and Kentucky.
And that's the problem. When you only have four teams that are projected to make the NCAA tournament,
and Arkansas is kind of on the bubble.
Right. It's hard for teams to get those marquee wins, like a team like Georgia, where you're not getting that many opportunities to play teams night in and night out that could propel you into that spot. Whereas if you're in the ACC, there's so many good teams from top to bottom that, well, if you don't beat a North Carolina or Duke, you still got a shot at Louisville or Virginia. So it gives you more opportunities to win games that will hopefully help your resume. Whereas for Georgia now, with four games remaining, the biggest game they have left on the schedule, according to the bracketologist, would be Arkansas, because they're the team on the outside looking in. But then you have Alabama, LSU, and Auburn, where you just need to win those games to be even in the consideration if for some reason you can't win the SEC tournament.
Yeah, and barring some unforeseen circumstance here, it looks like Northwestern's going to make the tournament for the first time. And weren't they the only Power 5 school to never have made the tournament?
They have to be, if not the only, I think it they has are to be the one of the
yeah,
few.
I think
yeah.
they are the only Power 5 team to have never made the NCAA tournament. So for them to get in, that would be a pretty neat. And, half of the ESPN roster would be happy about that, because it seems like most of them, or a bunch of them, went to Northwestern. But or Syracuse or Missouri or North Carolina. There's a select amount of schools that seem to employ ESPN. But anyway, that's what we got for the college basketball slate. Any teams from maybe unsuspecting territory you could see contending for a national championship?
The expert in me hasn't come out yet. I have to wait for March Madness to
hit,
because that's my favorite. Also, my other favorite part about March Madness is
everybody's an expert.
Everybody knows everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, this 12 seed, they're sure to be that 5
seed.
Watch
these guys. You got to be careful. Although, as the defending champion of the Cox Media Athens bracket pool, and a guy who did pick Villanova and UNC to be in the national title game last year, granted, I picked UNC to beat Villanova. But
still pretty close, though.
Still, yeah, it's pretty close. And as a guy that champions himself as a bracketologist, again, once March rolls around, I will be looking forward to getting that rolling once again.
You know, I've never filled out a bracket.
Really?
Ever. With my dad and I, we do this pool, but you pick round by round,
okay,
and it's a point system.
Okay.
And I've won that before, but I've never actually filled out a
complete
bracket.
Well, you also jump in on the Cox Media Group this year, man. We got to get Ryan involved. All right, so there's NCAA hoops. We'll jump to the next closest in declaring a champion, and that will be the NBA, where it's really, would you say, a three-horse race, maybe a four-horse race? Three teams from the West. Obviously, it's Cleveland in the East, unless Boston. I think if Boston, and look, Toronto adding Serge Ibaka is good. Still not going to get them past the Cavs, I wouldn't think, especially when Kevin Love gets back and healthy. And that's the thing. Kevin Love will be rested when he comes back because he's been out. So that's something to look at there. But if Boston were to acquire a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler, I think that could certainly be interesting. And it's funny because as we will post this, and we're recording it on Wednesday, the trade deadline Thursday, so maybe a trade will have gone down by the time this podcast gets posted. But if Boston does make one of those moves, I could see them doing it. But we'll just say for right now, with no moves having been made, then I do think something will happen. But Cleveland right now, the clear favorite in the East. Out West, I think Golden State, San Antonio, Houston. What if the Clippers add somebody? What if the Clippers go get Carmelo Anthony?
Yeah, something with the Clippers just seems off. It always does. Yeah, you would think by looking at the roster they would have an ability to challenge Golden State, but then whenever they play them, that just seems to be their nemesis. The interesting thing, going back to Boston for a second, is for a team that's ranked second in the East, they have so many draft picks and good draft picks because of trades they made over the past couple of years, especially with the Nets. So they have assets also to be able to trade and acquire a piece like a Jimmy Butler or Paul George. So it's not a team that would have to be giving up necessarily a ton of players right then. You could look for a team to say, look, in a draft class that's supposed to be pretty deep this upcoming draft in the NBA, for some of these Boston picks that they have to be really valuable on the trade market come tomorrow.
Exactly. So it's definitely a situation where if you're the Boston Celtics, if you're one of these teams that wants to make a move, would it be worth giving up some of your pieces? And that's the key. We talked about this on the morning show earlier today, which is, again, Wednesday. What do you do? Do you bide your time? Like, how do you negotiate this if you're an Eastern Conference team? Because as long as LeBron is around and playing as well as he is, and with the pieces that he has on that team, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, are you really going to be able to get past them?
Right. And maybe a team like Boston is poised to do that if like what you're saying, they add another scorer. Because Isaiah Thomas is the real deal. I mean, that guy, and especially in the fourth quarter.
He can't play defense to save his life, but
how many guys in the NBA can play defense?
Not very many,
choose to. That's it.
Yeah.
Because so many of these guys, they just choose to not play defense. Even in the regular season, you look at some of these games, and until the fourth quarter, you don't feel like they're playing that hard anyways.
That's true. That's true, and that's why they call him the King in the Fourth. That's his nickname there, Isaiah Thomas, which is a play on a Game of Thrones, the King of the North, King of the Fourth. I like that. But we'll see what happens there. In terms of a champion, I think it's got to be Golden State.
I thought it'd be hard for them to gel, and I'm one to think it takes time, but looking at the NBA the way it is, I'm with you. I think Golden State ends up winning. They're so talented.
They're 47-9 right now, so if they don't lose any more games, they can equal last year's record.
Okay.
But no, I mean, I think the Spurs could be there. They're 43-13, which is, I mean, just ridiculously
impressive.
What the
Spurs continue to do, you know, now without Tim Duncan, but still have Manu Ginobili and
who barely even like plays.
Right, and Tony Parker, and it's, you know, Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge have kind of taken that torch of the next group of players to lead San Antonio, but they find aging veterans who want to be a part of it, kind of like the New England Patriots, and then have enough young talent to combine it with, and then the greatest coach in the NBA in Greg Popovich.
Absolutely. And like you said, they're just super impressive what they've been able to do. But I'll go ahead and say that, you know, it's funny, the last thing we didn't really say who would win. There's just too many teams in college basketball to really pick one. But for here, again, it's the Warriors to lose, I feel like, just because adding Kevin Durant to the mix of guys that they already had, it's going to be tough for anybody to get past them.
I'm with you. I'll go to the Warriors as well.
All right, we'll jump to Major League Baseball now.
Baseball.
Which, you know, this one's interesting just in a sense that the Cubs have finally won the World Series, so what do we do now? I think the Cleveland Indians will continue to be a good baseball team, but, you know, I just think that right now it's the Cubs and kind of everybody else chasing after them there.
Yeah, the Cubs, I'd love to see the Cubs win another World Series. Like, I would have no problem with that happening. Yeah. A lot of people don't like the favorite to win, but to me the Cubs are still kind of that lovable loser in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess until people loved the Red Sox until they hated them when they felt that they became – it was like everybody was part of Red Sox Nation, and it was –
Where did all these Red Sox fans come from?
And everybody started to get cocky.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you haven't won a World Series in forever, and then all of a sudden you win a couple and you think you run the world. But hopefully that doesn't happen to the Cubs in the sense that hopefully they can win a couple World Series, but it doesn't take away from that lovable loser mentality that you have in your mind of what Chicago Cubs, who the Chicago Cubs are.
Yeah, exactly. So they will probably change, though. I mean, if they win a couple, they'll become the new Boston in terms of being that obnoxious, we win all the time fan base. I mean, that's just kind of the progression of how this works. But for now, I don't mind them. They're fine right now.
Exactly. And I think the way I view the team is they seem to have a lot of young, fun players to root for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant. So it's just, and Joe Maddon is a fun manager. So it's not a team of guys with big egos. It's young guys who seem to really enjoy playing the game of baseball, which is always fun to watch as a fan.
Yeah. And this year in baseball is going to be one of those where the Braves are obviously a team that's resetting. I think baseball kind of in general is in a reset kind of mode. A lot of the bigger stars maybe retiring or getting up there in age. So you're kind of in this stage right now where who are the up-and-coming guys going to be? And I think the Braves are a team that is in very, very good position in the next few years to be a team that takes over as maybe one of the top teams in the league. But for now, seems like they're sort of biding their time.
Yeah, they're on the verge of being hopefully really good to a great team and kind of getting back to what the 90s were for the Braves and just consecutive, you know, year after year division titles.
Oh, you mean
titles?
The 90s? You mean going to a bunch of division titles and World Series and stuff and not winning? Oh, okay.
Well, I'll take one World Series.
Yeah, I would take one at this
right?
point.
Right? I mean, you know?
Just from what we've seen.
I know. It's tough.
But just kind of looking at it division by division, you know, I kind of like the Red Sox and the AL East. I'll probably say the Indians again to win the AL Central. No idea in the AL West. I mean, the Houston Astros are a team that is supposed to have, you know, been really good. They were supposed to be good last year, but Dallas Keuchel kind of fell off on the mound, didn't have as good of a season. We'll see what they're able to do now that they've added Brian McCann to the mix. In the NL East, I'll probably say the Nationals just kind of on default. Maybe the Mets can get back up there.
Well, the Mets, it's can their pitching rotation stay healthy? I mean, they have a bunch of young studs, but between Syndergaard, Mats, Harvey, and there's one I'm missing that I can't think of right now.
Syndergaard.
Mats, Harvey,
and it's another DeGrom.
Oh, DeGrom.
DeGrom.
Jacob DeGrom. That's
DeGrom.
Right. Jacob
DeGrom. DeGrom, close enough. Whatever.
DeVry, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But with all those guys, if they can stay healthy, I mean, look out. But again, health is such an issue in sports that it's not something you can count on.
Yeah, and I think we both like the Cubs in the Central, and who knows? I mean, the Dodgers should be a team. The Giants are going to be there as well. They always seem to be hovering around, although we're back to an odd numbered year. And were they even number years?
Even.
Okay, so now we're in an odd number year, so the Giants probably fall off, and might be the Dodgers' division to take there. So. I think we both think probably right now the Cubs are in as good a position as any, though, to be a repeat champion.
I'm with you, 100%.
All right, we will move on now to the NCAA football season coming up.
Ooh.
And obviously...
Can't come soon enough.
I know, right? Clemson ended the year as the number one team winning the national championship, but they are obviously going to fall off a little bit with Deshaun Watson gone. When you have a player like that leave, I think they'll still be a good team. I just don't necessarily think that they are going to be a team that falls off as much as everybody thinks. But at the same time, they're still not going to be up there. So Alabama obviously going to contend because they always do. I think Southern Cal is going to be a really red hot team to look at as well. The Big Ten teams, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, I think will be around. And I don't necessarily know of any surprise lurkers, but those teams I just mentioned, it kind of just seems like, oh, all the teams that we always talk about, they'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, that's with college football. You think you kind of have it figured out, and there's always a team that kind of comes out of nowhere, whether or not you just thought they were a little bit younger and they were a couple years away. Look, maybe that's Georgia this year. Maybe Georgia runs through the SEC East, gets to Atlanta, somehow finds a way to beat the team from the West, whether it's Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, and finds himself in a playoff. I don't see it happening, but crazier things have happened in sports, and you feel like Georgia, similar to the Braves, is kind of on the verge of being really good, mm-hmm. but maybe is a couple years away from that. I'm with you. I think USC could be really, really good. They'll return their quarterback, Clay Helton. I guess this will be his second full year as a head coach. It seems like things are a little bit more stable now in Los Angeles. I like them. Also, Ohio State, just the way they lost to Clemson. Urban Meyer, to me, is the kind of coach that would have that looming over them all offseason, and in their workouts it would be like, you guys got shut out, you're going to work harder today, and they would find a way to win and be back. So Ohio State and USC to me would be the teams to look out for next year.
Yeah, I'd probably say that's true. It's funny because when you have these way too early rankings and stuff, everybody seems to think that they know something about these teams. Florida State's another one that I didn't really mention, but you know, they lose a Dalvin Cook and a DeMarcus Walker, but they still have a very talented quarterback, DeAndre Francois. Here's the thing about them, though. They opened the season against Alabama in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so right off the bat, you know, that's a team you got to look
at. You catch me at the Benz.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I think overall – I would say that Alabama is probably the favorite to win it all, which is me going super far out on a limb there.
Hot take.
Yeah, exactly. But it is what it is, and Alabama is a team that's always going to be good and always going to compete for national championships. Anything in terms of maybe early Heisman Trophy contenders from you?
I think one guy that would have to stand out, well, the returning Heisman Trophy winner, Lamar Jackson from Louisville, I think he'd have to be obviously in contention to repeat.
Yeah.
I think Jake Browning at Washington, he'll be back.
He'll be back.
A really good quarterback, so if he can lead them to another Pac-12 championship, he'd have to be in the discussion. I'm sure Bo Scarborough at Alabama will be mm-hmm. in the running. If he
Sam
can
Darnold
healthy.
As well at USC.
Yeah. I don't know if Nate McSorley, the quarterback at Penn State, I don't know if he'll be coming back. I think he is coming back. But if he's coming back, then he would be someone who had a really good second half of the season.
Trace McSorley.
Okay, yes. Maybe Nick Chubb or Sonny Michel ends up being a Heisman contender. Who knows?
Maybe so. We will see. But I'll say Sam Darnold probably is the guy I would look at right now. USC quarterback, you know, it tends to be like USC quarterback. Let's vote for that guy. Jalen Hurts, I think, will be in the discussion as well if he can continue to play well, despite the fact that he's lost now two offensive coordinators in very quick succession. But now that he'll have a full offseason to work with
Dable,
there you go. Now that he'll have a full offseason to work with that guy, maybe that'll work out well for him. We'll jump to the NFL now. Where, you know, this is a weird one. A lot of people keep saying that the Falcons, just go ahead and count them out for this season because it's the hangover of being in a Super Bowl and losing the way that the Falcons did. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I also don't necessarily agree with it.
I'm with you. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm trying to take my Falcons blinders off and look at it as objectively as possible. And the problem that I face when people say, oh, there's no way they get back, I'm like, I get that in the sense that if you look at the amount of Super Bowl teams that didn't make it back the next year or even make the playoffs, we talked about on the morning show, three of the four teams that made the championship games 2 years ago, the Panthers, the Cardinals, and the Broncos didn't even make the playoffs this year. So a lot of it is just, do you stay healthy? How does it turn out to be the teams that you're playing? I mean, look, the Falcons were supposed to have the toughest schedule in the NFL, and they had a tough schedule this year, but some of it changes by, you know, you think it's going to be a tough schedule, and then the teams you're playing either are hurt or they're just not very good that year. So there's so many different factors aside from just how much talent is on your team. What scares me the most is if the Falcons aren't back this year, and then in 2018 the Falcons, or the city of Atlanta, hosts a Super Bowl, and no team has ever played in a Super Bowl in their home stadium.
Right, and, you know, there's always things that, hey, the Falcons have done something already that nobody ever did, and that's blow a gigantic lead in the Super Bowl.
Very good point.
Maybe they can buck that trend there as well. In terms of teams that'll be contending, I think obviously the Cowboys will be up there. I think the Packers window might be closing, just in a sense that I don't necessarily know, unless they revamp that entire defense, that they're going to be able to hang with some of these other teams. So I think the Vikings are a team to look out for there. But I'd say in the East, it's probably the Cowboys. In the South, I think the Falcons will contend for the division along with the Carolina Panthers. I don't necessarily see the Saints. The Bucks might be a team to look at. In the West, I don't really know. I mean, I think Seattle is also a team that's window might be shutting a little bit. But Arizona is also a team that you don't really know what you're going to get. You did see that Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald are coming back, but that didn't really help them this season.
Well, it's one of those things, you feel like their windows might be closing for different reasons. Seattle, it seems like all the defensive talent might be getting to be too high priced where they can't keep them all there.
They're also getting a little older.
Right, but Russell Wilson is still pretty young.
Oh, so of course.
And that's where such a pivotal position, a quarterback. But on the flip side, with Arizona, you have this aging quarterback in Carson Palmer. Can he stay healthy? You know, one of his top weapons, Larry Fitzgerald, who's also getting to the point where this could be one of his last seasons. Their defense is really solid, but what are you going to get from them? San Francisco, dumpster fire, and the other team in that, the Rams. Okay, both teams are just complete dumpster fires.
Mm-hmm. So if we're picking division winners, again, I'll go Dallas, Minnesota, although Detroit, you got to watch out for them too. They had a really good season this year. So you know what? I'll say Dallas, Detroit, Atlanta, Seattle. I think Seattle probably still holds on for 1 year.
Okay. I'll go, because the NFC East seems to be ever-changing.
That's true.
I'm going to go the Eagles.
Okay.
The Lions.
Okay.
The Falcons and the Cardinals.
Okay. Cardinals flipping it over there. Okay. Jumping to the AFC. In the AFC East, we don't even need to talk about it. Patriots and move on. That's all you got to say.
Yes. It bothers me, but yeah, you're right.
The AFC North, I think Pittsburgh has done enough to stamp themselves ahead. Baltimore kind of needs a reset. The Bengals are a good team. They lost Dalton, you know, it was A.J. Green that went out this year. Dalton went out 2 years ago. But that's the thing. If either one of those guys is out, their offense can't really do anything. And the defense isn't as good as it once was. So, yeah, Pittsburgh seems to be the team in the North. And the AFC South, which is just a constant dumpster fire, I think this is the year Tennessee comes good. I thought last year could have been that year. But Marcus Mariota continued to make great strides. And I think that, you know, the talent that they've added on that team will propel them to winning the AFC South next year, unless the Colts can figure something out with Andrew Luck. And then in the West, I think it's the Raiders. I think Derek Carr comes back and plays just as well as he did this past season and gets them back to where they were before he got hurt.
I like all of those picks. The only one I'm going to change is I'm just going to say in the AFC North, it's not Cleveland.
Okay, I like that. Not Cleveland. That's a
I'm going
hot
out
take.
On a limb.
You're going out in a very far-reaching
but
limb.
But I'm just
going
to throw it out there that I believe the AFC North will be won by a team Not Cleveland.
Okay, not the Cleveland Browns. We'll jump into the playoffs then, I guess. I'll say this. I think that the Cowboys make that jump next year. I think the Cowboys are going to get to the Super Bowl.
I think a team with a quarterback named Tom Brady will end up winning a Super Bowl.
Well, that's pretty easy. I'm not saying the Cowboys are going to win. I just think out of the NFC, they'll get there. And, yeah, until somebody takes it away from them,
I'm going to go with the
Patriots getting back to the Super Bowl. And that's the thing. Tom Brady, in the first half against the Falcons, looked mortal. But then something, you know, snaps, and he's like, oh, I'm Tom Brady. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, the combination of him and Bill Belichick is just something I don't think anyone's ever witnessed, and we're witnessing history before our eyes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not usually one to be like, oh, this is the greatest player ever, but it seems that when we look back 25, 30, 40 years from now, and you think about what Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have done with the way even free agency is, it just, you know, losing some of their best players, whether they let Darrelle Revis go,
Tommy, or, man.
You know, Jamie Collins traded in the middle of the season, they just always seem to find a way to get back and win it. And after what I witnessed as a Falcons fan, blowing a 25-point lead to Tom Brady and the Patriots, you know, just I'll hand you the Lombardi Trophy until you retire.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And until he decides to hang it up, and, you know, he could win it next year and get to 6 Super Bowls. And, I mean, okay.
That's more than
one
hand.
Here's my question for you. Over, under Tom Brady Super Bowls, and I'm going to set it at 6.5.
Under.
So you think he'll get to 6? You think he'll get one more?
Well, if he gets one more, but I don't think he'll get 2 more.
Well, you just picked him to win.
Well, I know. I'm that's more me just being – I don't think he'll win. Let's say this. I think he'll probably be in the league 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. I think he'll probably get one more.
Okay. I'm going to say over. I think he gets 2 more.
Wow.
I mean, that's the thing. It's the Patriots.
I know. I just think at some point somebody will knock him off.
And somebody has, but
– Just not going to
be – That's the thing. It was either Peyton Manning or Ben Roethlisberger. You know, you think the Steelers can get – who is his competition in the AFC this coming season? The Steelers? The Raiders?
Yeah, I think it'd also be interesting to see where Tony Romo ends up. If he ends up in Denver, I think that makes him a contender. Look, I even think if Tony Romo ended up in Houston, that defense is phenomenal. J.J. Watt comes back healthy, and the only thing they're missing is a quarterback. So it's not as if, you know, you would think that if that position could be upgraded.
DeAndre Hopkins would,
So, I mean, I'm not saying that the Texans next year come in and knock off the Patriots, but I think they're a team that with a quarterback upgrade would have a chance to do so.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Although I don't see Jerry Jones sending Tony Romo to an in-state team like that. But, dang, you throwing something out there. I didn't even really think about the Houston Texans as a strong possibility there. All right, there's our 2017 sports preview. And obviously some of those will go into 2018, like the NFL and NCAA seasons. But it's mostly the 2017 season.
Yeah, don't be super literal about it.
I know,
guys. Okay?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Cut us some slack here. But in terms of the Georgia sports, I think for 2017, my outlook really is there's some optimism for some of them. You know, you look at the Braves, and for the future, there's optimism there. The Falcons, there should be optimism, despite the fact that they blew that lead in the Super Bowl, because they look like they're returning all these pieces, and they should have another very good season coming up. And Dan Quinn has shown that he's a good coach. There's optimism there.
I'm with you there. It's just, you're right. You get
it's soured. So hard to continue to be optimistic, though.
You get soured by the fact of the 25, you know.
Blown points.
Exactly. Yeah. But you're right. The Braves are trending in the right direction. Georgia football seems to be trending in the right direction. It's just, how many years away are they?
Yeah.
And that's the big question. It's kind of like you have to temper your expectations as to not think that the Braves and Georgia football is just on the verge of winning a national championship or a World Series. Mm-hmm. It's probably maybe 2, 3, 4 years away.
It's okay, guys. Atlanta United is coming to save the day. March 5th, they take on the New York Red Bulls to open the MLS season. So the saviors are coming. Don't worry about it. Ryan, any parting shots, any words to live by here as we get out of here?
I don't really have anything.
Yeah,
today.
You got nothing. I feel you. It's that time of the year where
we're just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, we're just chilling.
Just have fun hanging out.
We're just chillaxing. You know, just watch sports, enjoy time around family and friends, and gear up for March Madness. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
All right, that'll wrap things up for us here on the Ref Recap Podcast. You can catch us on 960theref.com every week. Follow along on Twitter. I'm at Sam J. Franco. He's at the Rio Rye Guy 19. Also follow at 960 The Ref on Twitter. And we'll be back next week with another episode of the Ref Recap Podcast. Are you down? 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 Are you down